This programme has been sponsored by Taunton Deane Borough Council through their Recession Relief Fund. The fund was created to support organisations such as Tem Radio, helping local communities deal with the effects of the economic recession.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Somerset is go!
And good afternoon, and my name is Eddie Gaines, and welcome to the second Somerset Is Go programme. And this is a special programme that we are putting on in Ten Radio to help people and businesses weather the storm that is this current recession. Today in this programme, we're going to be looking at how to get a job in these difficult times. And in a few minutes' time, we'll have Professor Patrick Jordan and Becky Bevans, who will be talking about how to get a job. That's the first stage to sort of like sorting out your financial matters, if indeed you haven't got a job. We'll also be covering in the programme what's new in personnel and recruitment matters, trying to give you like the latest news as to what is happening here in Somerset, and indeed here in Wiverliscombe and the surrounding area. We'll also be hopefully giving you a few tips on how to put together a good CV, a winning CV, which will at least help you get an interview and then present yourself positively for a new job. And also in this program we'll be having a little bit of music, and this will be all the music that I personally think will fit this particular program. And so we're going to start our program with an interview that was done a couple of weeks ago by Professor Patrick Jordan and Becky Bevans, who's an HR consultant with Pardo's, the solicitors, and she's also chairperson of the Somerset branch of Chartered Institute of Personnel Development. And this was previously broadcast on the community program a couple of weeks ago. Welcome into the studio, Patrick Jordan.
Good morning, Eddie, and good morning, everybody out there. This is Patrick Jordan on Ten Radio, and today we're talking about success in tough times. How do we succeed at work at a time of economic difficulty? How do we get a good job when jobs are so scarce? And how do we succeed in the job that we have and make the best of our careers? Well, this morning's guest should be able to give us some useful tips. She is Rebecca Bevins, a successful businesswoman who runs her own consultancy. Becky is Managing Director of Pardo Bevins, a human resource company based in Yeovil. She is also chairperson of the Somerset branch of the Chartered Institute of Personnel Development, known as the CIPD. Now, the CIPD is the UK's leading organisation for working in human resources management and specialises in understanding what makes people successful in their careers. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for coming in today, especially as you've taken time out from the CIPD's West of England conference in order to come and visit us. First of all, could you tell us a bit about what the CIP does and what its work is?
Yes, the CIPD locally in Somerset is run by a group of volunteers. Our committee is there to support and help members with their careers and their career choices, and also to provide a range of events in order to help them develop their careers. And we're there really as a support to students and also members that have qualified throughout their careers.
And you mentioned events, and I understand there's an event going on today. In fact, I've been involved with it myself, the West of England conference. Now, the theme you've chosen for this year is survival of the fittest. And what gave you that idea?
This particular event, as I said, we're a group of volunteers. The committee is run purely on a voluntary basis. We started to plan this conference a year ago, and at the time came up with the title of Survival of the Fittest, not really realising probably how true that might be 12 months on. It was something that we were aware of as the country was in recession, going deeper into recession, that we wanted to talk about and give back to our members that some of us will survive and that the fittest will get through, and how are we going to do that, and the tips and things that they might want to consider to help them do that.
Okay, and you've got a pretty full programme today, I should imagine, not coming in here and having to organise the conference as well. How many people have come to this year's event?
This year's event was fully booked, 110 delegates. If we could have squeezed more in, we would. We were unable, 110 was for the size of the venue. We also have 20 exhibitors, which are local businesses providing services to the HR community, and obviously sponsored as well by Pardo Sisters.
Okay, and how many years has the conference been going now?
This is our third year, so hoping that we're getting better at it each year. And as soon as this one's finished, we will be back in talks then to start to plan for next year's.
Okay, excellent. Well, we've got a lot to talk about this morning. We're going to be talking about how to get yourself a great job and how to succeed. Now, we talked a bit about what the CIPD is and the conference we've got going on today, but I think a lot of people out there will be recognising that we're in tough times. I mean, we may be sort of coming a little bit out of recession, but times are still tough out there. And what tips would you have for somebody who's looking for a job at the moment? How do they get themselves noticed?
For me, Pat, that starts right at the beginning. It starts with the CV and the letter of application. I think your CV has to stand out. You have to make yours different, and you have to make it reach the interview pile. Often we receive lots and lots of CVs for one role. In particular, we've recently run an advert for a receptionist in a Somerset town and received 202 applications for that role. The ones that make it through to that first initial sift are the ones that look different, that maybe have a particular skill. In this instance, it was about being able to operate a switchboard. Also, we get lots of CVs that potentially are 4 to 5 pages long. It's too much. An employer wants to see one or two sides of relevant information. We also want to see things about what people have achieved, so not a list of your job description and what you're doing currently or what you've done in the past, but tell us things about what you've done, how you achieved it, and how that made a difference to your current or previous employer.
So that could even be things like volunteering then, Becky, or being involved in something that's quite different from your regular
Absolutely.
Work role.
And I think volunteering, or even if it's a completely different role, it's about demonstrating on your CV that those skills that you have could be used in the new role and how they can be used. So, for example, maybe you've implemented something at work and it saved your company a lot of money. Tell us about that, because if you've done it once, you're likely to do it for a new employer. That's what an employer is looking for, I believe.
I mean, quite a lot of people struggle with the order in which to put things on CVs, and I help people professionally to write their CVs. And I always say that the intended audience is an employer, so you've got to put your employment history or your employment achievements at least on the first page, and then the education afterwards, because it's this first impression. Your CV has got to hit the mark mm-hmm. within a couple of minutes, and putting all your education first doesn't tend to do that. An employer will look at what someone's done in a work context and achieved in a work context, and they then may think, okay, well, what's the education like after that? Do you agree?
I would agree, yes. I think it's very important. We always recommend that you start with a little paragraph about yourself.
Yeah, so profile.
A profile which explains in a short few sentences what you can do and what you offer to a prospective employer, followed by your most recent employment. And as you say, that can then go on over the page to other employment and education. Depending on where you are in your career life, some people may have had little or no work experience, but then to use things like clubs and societies, even voluntary work and other bits and pieces that they may have done to fill the employment gap.
But Becky, the statistic you just mentioned about the receptionist job, and you had 202 applicants for one post, which actually is a fairly conventional kind of job. I mean, that's quite a terrifying statistic. It shows that the recession has got a real hold, mm-hmm. and that people are desperately looking for work, even in a relatively sort of average kind of area. It's worrying. Do you see this year being? Patrick mentioned, you know, that we may be slightly coming out of recession, yes. or whatever. I think people's attitudes have changed. I don't know whether we are coming out of recession. I think things are going to get a lot worse. But people are thinking differently and trying to think more positively about the situation, and actually saying, we can't beat this, so what we're going to do is go round it and think laterally about how we can adjust to the recession. Do you get that impression at all, Becky? Do you get that feeling?
I think people are still finding it tough. I think it is tough. I think I've certainly seen an upturn in the amount of jobs and recruitment that is now taking place. But I think employers are also aware that there is a big pool to pick from, and they want the best. And they will go through a very stringent recruitment practice to ensure they get the best. So for an applicant, it's about making sure that they stand out, that they are different and they appear to be the best.
So really it is the matter of, I mean, that crowd is huge. You've got to somehow stand out from that. So get across what you can do for the employer, be succinct, get it down to 2 pages, make a good visual impression, all that kind of stuff, because otherwise you'll miss the first cut.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that. We're going to come back in a few minutes and talk about what to do when you're in your job and how to make a success of that. But first of all, Eddie's got a song for us.
That's right, and this is a track from the 60s, and it's The Silhouettes with some good advice, get a job.
Get a job. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la. You may be worried about the time to get me out of my bed and crying for a job. You're after breakfast every day, so you throw the warning from my way. I never fail to say, get a job. Sha-la-la-la, 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 sha-la-la-la.
Well, when I get the paper, I read it through and through, and my girl never fails to say if there is any work for me. I'm gonna go back to the house, hear that woman's mouth
reaching and crying, tell me that I'm lying about a job
that I never could find.
Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la.
Good morning, this is Patrick Jordan on 10 Radio. We've got Pauline and Eddie with us in the studio, and our guest today is Becky Bevins from the Chartered Institute of Personal Development. Now, Pauline quite rightly pointed out before the last song that I forgot to ask Becky about how to do a good interview if you're looking for a job. So could you give us a few tips on that, please?
I think to start with, it's about arriving on time. The basics, be there on time, be there in plenty of time, even try the route beforehand if it's a little way away or not a normal route. Dress appropriately. Sometimes that's a suit, sometimes that's casual or smart. It depends on the workplace and the interview. Be confident. You're there to sell yourself. It's there. It's your time. Use it. Use it well. And try to talk about as much of the things that you've done in the past, things that you have done, that you did well, that you achieved, that an employer then will look at and say, I like this person. I can see them doing that for me in my
business. So it's kind of concrete achievements, things you've actually done rather than just your potential, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely. I think lots of employers like to listen to things that people have done as opposed to would do or could do. I think the problem with would do or could do is that people could read a textbook and decide that's what I should be saying, whereas concrete examples of things that have happened in the past, for me, are what an employer would be looking for.
And so that's what you as an HR person look for, presumably, when you put a candidate before an employer?
Absolutely, yes, is to prep them to talk about. And that experience can come from the workplace, it can come from college, it can come from school, it can come from outside activities. And the better and the more varied the range, the more you've got to talk to an employer about.
I find that young people these days, if you're thinking of just one area of the workforce, maybe going for their first job or something, they are so much more confident than when I was growing up. I mean, I'm old, but, you know, they really are sort of seem very much in control of their condition and their personalities. And I mean, thinking of our local community school, there's a group there of kids who do public speaking competitions every year, and every year they get to regional level and beyond, and their confidence and ability to put subjects across in a bright manner is just astounding. It's impressive to see. Mm-hmm. Do you think, although, I mean, you're much younger than me, but do you think that over the years people have got a bit more savvy about promoting themselves?
I agree, and I think people are spending a lot more time looking at their job applications, about the process they're going to go through. I believe it's always really important to do some research on the company or the person that, for which you're applying for a job with. One of the most often the question is what do you know about my company? And if you haven't done any research, that can be quite an interview killer right from the word go.
So you've got to put the time in before you go and really treat it seriously and get that research done.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we've talked a bit about getting the job, and as we said earlier, we want to come along to people who maybe already have jobs, perhaps they don't feel the job's going the way they want it, perhaps they've been stuck in the same position in the company for a long time. Now, what kind of advice would you give to somebody looking to kind of kickstart that career and really go for it?
I think it's about having a goal. It's about deciding where you want to be, what you want to do, and then breaking it down. How are you going to get there? Looking at all the things that you need to do in order to get to your goal, and ticking them off one by one, using whatever experience and other people and qualification, whatever it takes along the way, to reach that ultimate goal.
There is nothing like having a list, even if it's an important list, like a life spec, and ticking off as you go along. It makes you feel like you're achieving something, doesn't it? You're getting there. A line through that. I do it every month with just things to do, and it's a real sort of achievement to stick a line through something. I've done that. I've got there.
I mean, we've often talked on this show, Pauline, haven't we, about the importance of goals and setting out your plan to get
Definitely.
There and ticking them off, and that's exactly what we're talking about here for people who are trying to make that push forward.
But I guess unless you've actually been advised by someone like Becky, or you've been on some sort of course, or had the luck to have someone giving you some feedback maybe from an interview, I mean, I guess you do that.
Very much so. We're always really pleased when people come back to us for feedback. It may not always be what they want to hear, but hopefully it is something that if they're asking for it, they're prepared to listen to it, and they're prepared to work on it and change it, or accept it and look for a job that will encompass the way that they are and the person that they are.
Yeah, and you know, being true to yourself is a very, very important part of that. Now we're going to have one last record, and then we'll come back with Becky, and we'll talk about the state of the economy. Now, Eddie's picked out something for us, which is very appropriate. George Michael, one of Becky's favourite artists, and this song is about having hope and confidence. It's called Faith. This is Patrick Jordan on 10 Radio, and with Pauline and Eddie with us, and we've got our guest Becky Bevans in the studio. Becky's from the Chartered Institute of Personal Development. We're answering, rather, our questions about how to get a job in a recession, how to impress employees, and how to do well in an interview. Now, one of the questions that many of us have probably got on our minds, Becky, particularly those of us maybe starting out or thinking of switching career, is what elements of the economy are doing best and worst in the current conditions? And who's been hit hardest? Where do you see the green shoots appearing first?
From our experience, Pat, we do some work with a national house builder, and they were certainly one of the first people to stop buying services, to stop running certain recruitment programs, to launch into some rather large-scale redundancies. And whilst other sectors have certainly followed, we're now seeing, though, that particular national house builder is revitalising its graduate scheme. It's certainly actively recruiting and also planning for their recovery and thinking about how they do that. I think that the public sector currently was probably a little way behind, and certainly hit the private sector firstly, and I think the public sector now is looking as though it's going to be cost cutting. I guess with a general election as well coming up, that's going to play a major part in what happens in the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, so in a sense the private sector's already had a big hit, and now we're seeing the public sector probably kind of being dragged into it a little later on.
From our experience, yes, that's what we've seen.
And do you have any kind of, I mean, we talked about building as an area that's kind of perhaps going to turn itself around a bit now. I mean, any other areas that you see potential growth in over the next couple of years?
I'd like to think human resources and that people will want to reinvest in areas such as training, qualification and development of the staff that they have or the employees that they're about to take on.
And I mean, we talked about the CIPD quite a lot today, and obviously you're doing a huge amount for employees and for employers. If somebody was thinking of joining, you know, first of all, who is it really for, and what would they need to do in order to join?
Yep, anyone can join the CIPD. There is a website, www.cipd.co.uk. You can log on there. We'll tell you all about the levels of membership. We have varying levels depending on level of qualification, level of study, but you can join as a corporate member or as an affiliate member. So that will give you all the information that you need.
And you mentioned earlier on that there are, I mean, lots of meetings in, I suppose, nationally and locally and regionally, as you might put it. So today, obviously, we talked about the West of England conference. But if you're joining a local branch, presumably, do you have weekly meetings or monthly meetings?
We try to run a programme of events. I talk about the Somerset branch. We run an event. We try to run an event every couple of months. The majority of our events, because we put so much into the conference on a yearly basis, the majority of our other events are around employment law and legal updates, which various local suppliers provide for us, and we invite our members along. The other branches that form the West of England, they do a range of events, and these are all advertised on the CIPD website.
Okay, so that's www.cipd.org.co.uk. .co.uk, so I'll get that right. www.cipd.co.uk. Okay, Becky, well, listen, it's been a great pleasure having you in the studio with us. You've given us some fabulous insights to those looking for jobs, for those in work, and for those of us who are hoping things are going to turn around. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
And Eddie's just pointed out he's found another appropriate song, believe it's not, to close. We had Get a Job by the Silhouettes earlier. Now we have the Talking Heads with I Found a Job.
This programme has been sponsored by Taunton Deane Borough Council through their Recession Relief Fund. The fund was created to support organisations such as TEM Radio, helping local communities deal with the effects of the economic recession.
Yeah, and thank you very much, Patrick and Becky, for talking to us about the success of Getting a Job. That was first broadcast on the TEM Radio Community Programme on the 1st of March. Now, so going back to what Becky was talking about putting together a winning CV, why a CV? Well, I looked at the Somerset Gazette last week, and around about 40% of the jobs advertised in the Gazette were asking for a CV. They weren't asking for an application form. They were asking for people to send a CV in. And, of course, CV stands for Curriculum Vitae. There were things like a company called Falcon looking for people to applications in writing to the personnel manager. There's a process technician, send CV to LEW Techniques Limited. And even Parkfield Primary School in Parkfield Road, Taunton, they're looking for cleaners 10 hours per week, Monday to Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. And guess what? They're looking for people to apply by letter, enclosing a CV with the names and addresses of two referees to the head teacher. So it just goes to show that all sorts of jobs require a CV to actually make the first approach to the employer. And of course, a lot of people will send their CV to a company because they think that they might well be recruiting in the near future. So these CVs, what have they got to be? Well, according to Becky, they've got to stand out. I mean, bearing in mind, if a company is actually recruiting staff, they're going to get lots of applicants, and you could be competing amongst between 20 and 100 plus other CVs. So if your CV is going to get you an interview, because the interview is the next stage to actually getting the job, then it's got to be different from the other CVs that that employer is getting. And of course, you've also got to think, who is going to receive that CV? You know, is it going to be someone in the personnel department, or is it going to be the director of the company? I mean, it may be a very small company, and it could be the managing director takes total control over who recruits the staff. So when you send a CV in, you don't always know who the intended audience for that CV is. Becky also said your key skills have got to be highlighted. Now that means, you know, it's not got to be, you know, a case of what your life story is going to be, what key skills you've already have or have learnt, and are those key skills going to match the type of job that that you're applying for. And of course, you may not know what that company is looking for, but you've got to try and give relevant skills which are going to be matched against the type of work that is going to be advertised. Also, she said that the CV should be no longer than one to two sides. Now, why is that? Well, if I'm an employer and I've got a position that I want filled, am I really going to read 100 CVs? I mean, how long is that first of all going to take me? I mean, if every CV was 4 pages long, well, I mean, I don't read very fast, to be honest. But, I mean, that could be almost a day's work, just reading 100 CVs. So, really, I'm going to really expect to get the message very quickly. It's all about first impressions. I mean, when you meet someone for the first time, you always sort of form an opinion about that person. And you've got to think that CV has to actually give that first impression. So it's got to hit the mark very, very quickly. Hopefully in the first 20 to 30 seconds. Because quite a lot of employers will only give the CV at best between 1 minute and maybe 3 minutes. I made the point in that interview that you've got to get your relevant skills in the workplace, or if you're doing voluntary work or some, you know, transferable skills on that first page, because it's in that first page that's going to be the hook that is actually going to hopefully get the intended person who's reading it interested in thinking to themselves, well, yes, I actually want to start to meet this person who sent this marketing tool called a CV to me. Becky also said, you've got to specify what you've achieved. Now, that can be in the workplace. It could be if you're doing any voluntary work. It could even be in your home life, anything that you think is going to be off merit. And that's got to be really specified very clearly on the CV. You've also got to demonstrate possible transferable skills. You know, you may not have been able to have used machinery, but you may well have used machinery in another context. So basically, summing up, what is a CV? It's basically a marketing tool aimed at a potential employer. And it's about you, and everyone is different. I mean, every single person is different. I mean, we are all multidimensional people. We've all got a history, we've all got a present, and hopefully we've all got a future. And you've got to try and get that onto your CV as quickly as possible. Now, The other thing, point that I would make is that just don't wait until a specific job comes up. If you are in the market for a job at this point in time, then you need to sit down now and start writing that CV. And first of all, start with maybe just a list of all your achievements. And then you can think about putting those achievements into the eventual CV. Because another point about applying for jobs, there's always a deadline. For example, looking at the Somerset Gazette last week, several of those jobs have got deadlines the 12th of March. Well, that's only 2 days away. I'm speaking on the 10th of March. And if I haven't put a CV together now, then I've got very little opportunity to put a really effective CV together. Now, I've been talking for a little while, and I'm just going to play a little bit of music now. And this is by Freddie Lennon. Now, he had a life. He was the father of John Lennon. And he was only given one chance to record. And this is a song that he put together, and it's called This Is My Life.
Pick up my story where I once left off. I sailed with the tides and lived on dreams. I've watched the sunrise over every ocean.
That's my life, that's my love and my home.
It started in Liverpool, where I was born. No father to advise me, but I carried on. First time I saw the sea, I just knew this had to be.
That's my life, that's my love, and my home.
I must tell you this, I was no heartbreaker, perhaps a dream maker, but as the years rolled by, I saw a lifetime of love go wrong. Pity was my partner all along. Yet listen to me, just let me tell you, now I've grown strong.
I'm so strong.
It could be the end of my story, but my story will never end. As people have always told me, I've been a true friend, with little to give, but a heart to lend.
That's my life, that's my love, and my home.
I'll make no excuses for my own abuses, 'cause life makes us all that way. I could blame the cruel sea for taking away from me.
That's my life, that's my love, and my home. That's my life, that's my love, and my home.
That was my life, my love, and my home.
This programme has been sponsored by Taunton Deane Borough Council through their Recession Relief Fund. The fund was created to support organisations such as Ten Radio, helping local communities deal with the effects of the economic recession.
So, we were just listening to Freddie Lennon. I suppose his main achievement was being the father of John Lennon, and maybe he made John Lennon the man that he was. So let's look at common mistakes on CVs. I would say, first of all, the CV has got to be typed. I mean, it's not necessary, but, you know, if it can be typed, so much the better, because the person who's got to read the CV has got to be able to easily read the CV. People's handwriting isn't always the best of format in which to see things. And talking about formats, if you're word processing a CV, you should use a large enough font, perhaps 10 or 12, because this is polite to the person who's got to read it, and if the font size is too small, then it's going to be harder for someone to read. And again, you know, if I've got 20 other CVs, well, I'll just give up, and I would then probably go on to a CV which is easier to read. Also, once it's typed, you've got to make sure that there aren't any grammatical errors or typos, and that might often mean that you've got to get someone else to proofread the CV when it's finished. Once you start putting a document together, it's very easy to just get lost within that document, so often you need maybe a third party to have a look at that and say, well, how does that read to you, and can you spot the particular spelling mistakes or whatever. And don't rely on the spell check that word processing program that you might have used, because quite a lot of these are American spell checkers. Quite a lot of words are different in UK English from American English. Also, don't try to just make one CV and hope that that's going to fit every single job that you're going to apply for, because quite often, as Becky said earlier, the employer is looking to see if there are things on that CV that can fit the intended job that is available in that company. And you may well be doing yourself a disservice by just having a one-size-fits-all type CV. So if you're applying for a specific job using a CV, then try and find out a bit more about that job, and then tailor your CV and highlight those areas in your CV which you've got experience in the past, either in a working context or in a domestic circumstance. And, you know, we are talking about your achievements, really, rather than what you think you can. So if you've got really good specific things that you've done in the work context that you can support at an interview, then that's the sort of thing that goes onto your CV. I mean, it's very easy to slip into a mode where you simply start listing job duties on your CV. For example, attended group meetings and recorded minutes, worked with children in a daycare setting, updated departmental files. I mean, employers really don't care how much that you've done as to what you've accomplished in your various activities. So you've really got to highlight the accomplishments and, you know, the things that you've achieved. And if you've achieved things in a particular time scale, then put that on your CV, that you've achieved things and have got things in time. Because lots of employers, well, they've got their own deadlines. They've got deadlines to produce the goods to a particular customer. So if you've been able to achieve things and they are very timely, then that's what's got to go onto your CV. I mean, another thing which, this might seem a very small thing, but if you're a non-smoker, for example, I think that's something, that's just a statement about yourself, and that would need to go perhaps in your profile. Now, this is the short paragraph, which is sort of like encompasses previous job roles have been, why you're looking for work at this particular time, and whether you're looking for a job that's going to challenge you. You know, this is really the rationale for why you're sending your CV in the first place, and it's called a profile. And then following that, you would have your immediate work history. Work history, it's accepted that people will have had many, many jobs over their lifetime, that people won't have just started one job at the age of 16 or 18 or 21 and then retire at the age of 60 or 65 and have been in that just one job role all of your working life. So here's a little track which sort of like covers that, and this is by David Gates, and it's called Love Is Always 17.
17. It's been a while since I've seen 17. And the years since have been mighty lean. But there's no use complaining. And 42 has a way of creeping up on you. And my chances left are getting few. But there's still time remaining. And I've been waiting for someone who loves the way I do. And girl, I got my fingers crossed in hopes it might be you. And 21, that's how many different jobs I've done. And I remember quitting everyone with no hesitating. And 33, that's how many women left on me. I don't have too good a history, but I don't mind waiting. Cause it really doesn't matter how many years you've seen. Cause love is always 17. Wonder if you'll be the one to end this lonesome heart. Cause girl, I got a lot to give, and I'd sure like to start. And it really doesn't matter how many years you've seen. Love is always 17.
Well, that was David Gates, and on his CV he was the main songwriter and singer in a group called Bread, and that's a rather nice song called Love is Always 17. And in that song he says just how many jobs that he'd had over his lifetime. Just sort of like before we sort of round up on CVs, you've also got to often put a covering letter with your CV when you send it, and it'll often say send covering letter and CV, and you've got to put the same attention to detail to the letter as the CV itself. That means it's got to be grammatically correct, it's got to not have any typos. Hopefully make reference to the job that you're applying to. I mean, if a company has multiple jobs on offer, then you want to say that you're applying for the secretarial position or the reception position or the lathe turner position or indeed the cleaner position. And of course you've got to know that if you actually know that the person's name that you're sending the CV to, then it's a personal letter to that person. So something like Dear Mrs. Smith, you would finish it yours sincerely. But if you don't know the name of the recipient, then it's yours faithfully. So it would be Dear Sir / Madam, and you would end it yours faithfully. Anyway, I'm go off CVs now, but even though you may have written your CV, this is something you've got to just keep on revisiting and improving, and don't just sort of put it on the shelf and think, well, I'll get it out again for the next job application, because you know this is something that can be always improved and improved and improved. And as I said earlier on, tailor your CV to the job that you're applying for. That is so important. Now we're going to move on to some sort of business news, and I've been looking again at the local papers, and I noticed that in Wellington, Relion and its sister company are moving towards a one management structure. So that's obviously going to have some implications for the staff and management at Relion in Wellington. In next week's Somerset Is Go, we'll have Philip Knighton, who will be covering the Wellington labour market. He'll also be talking to the Wellington Chamber of Commerce, and he'll be sort of looking at what is actually happening in the Wellington area. And I also noticed front page of last week's Somerset Gazette that Musgrove Park Hospital, they're anticipating that there's going to be savings of in the order of about £37 million over the next few years. And I'm sure that will have an impact on the type of jobs that are available. So again, it's sort of watch this space, because although there have been many surveys, and there seems to be a lot more business confidence that vacancy numbers are set to improve over the next 12 months, but I think we're still in a very fragile situation. And whilst there are jobs to be had out there, things are still quite fragile. And of course, we've got a general election coming up, and of course that could be in great changes if there's a change of government. There is actually a survey that businesses can undertake at this point in time. This has been put together by Taunton Deane and Somerset County Council. There's a survey being sent out to firms based in Taunton Deane, and it's trying to get a feel for the current economic climate, both in the public and private sectors. If you want to take part in this survey, and it is aimed at all businesses in the Somerset area, you can find the online business survey at www.surveymonkey.com/Somerset. So that's surveymonkey.com/Somerset. The results from this survey will influence a wider assessment of the Somerset economy, which will be used as a critical tool in determining future investment in the county. And for businesses, this could mean better targeting of investments to provide appropriate workspace, skills and business support services. Councillor Fran Smith from the Economic Development Portfolio at Taunton Deane said, "We really do value the thoughts and opinions of the business sector. Their cooperation will directly inform activities carried out by the councils and their partners." So if you are interested in taking part in this survey, then visit www.surveymonkey.com/Somerset. And according to the press release, it should only take about 10 minutes to complete the survey.
This programme has been sponsored by Taunton Deane Borough Council through their Recession Relief Fund. The fund was created to support organisations such as TEM Radio, helping local communities deal with the effects of the economic recession.
Now, what else is happening? Now, the next bit of news is going to be quite far-reaching, really. For people who are currently in work, that the government is putting into place new regulations which will allow people to have training on demand. If you're currently in a company that employs more than 250 people. So from the 6th of April, approximately 11 million employees in Great Britain will have a new right to request time to train. and this will be extended to cover all employees in all businesses from the 6th of April 2011. I mean, what this means is that employees will be able to request accredited programs leading to a qualification or for unaccredited training to help them develop specific skills relevant to their job, workplace or business. While the employee requests may involve agreeing time away from their duties, the primary focus of this new right is about agreeing relevant training with the employer and yourself. This will mean that the employer will be required to consider any request and respond within a set time frame. And you can only turn down requests when you have a good business reason to do so, including where you do not believe the training will help improve business performance. This new right closely follows the model used for agreeing requests under flexible working arrangements. And so if you're running a business and you currently employ more than 250 people, this new right to training will come in from the 6th of April this year, cover all employees in a year's time. And if you want to find out more about that, you can go to the Business Link website, and it's called Right to Train. Now we're coming to the end of this current Somerset Is Go program. I do hope you enjoyed it. I hope you've learned a little bit more about how to put a CV together. And I hope just these little tips will help you get a job if you are looking for work, or even get a better job if you're currently in work but you're not necessarily happy with your current employment. Anyway, it's goodbye from me, Eddie Gaines, and tune in again next Wednesday between 5 and 6 o'clock to Somerset Is Go. Now I'm going to go out with a song by the Bangles. It's called Going Down to Liverpool, and I think that's where Freddie Lennon and John Lennon lived.
This programme has been sponsored by Taunton Deane Borough Council through their Recession Relief Fund. The fund was created to support organisations such as Ten Radio, helping local communities deal with the effects of the economic recession.